Lanterns at dusk. At the edge of Moonlit Market, Iris watched the first lanterns wake in the evening air. They bobbed gently above the cobbled street, golden peach and pale blue. Beside her, a bright little fox named Comet shook out his tail and sneezed at a drifting sparkle of dust. Tonight was lantern parade night, and everyone had a role. Iris had promised to deliver the final songbook to the clock tower band before the bells struck nine. It sounded simple, but market nights were never simple. Stalls unfolded like origami, musicians tuned their strings, and children raced between painted carts carrying ribbons and paper stars. Iris pressed the songbook safely under her arm and took a breath that tasted of cinnamon buns and rain-washed stone. "Steady feet, brave heart," she whispered, and Comet gave a small, confident chirp. The first delay. They had barely crossed the fountain square before a wheel popped off a flower cart with a loud wooden crack. Marla the florist looked close to tears as roses tipped toward the street. Iris knelt at once, setting down her satchel, and Comet nudged fallen stems toward her with surprising care. Together they lifted buckets upright, retied bouquets, and found the runaway wheel wedged under a bench. A passing carpenter tightened the axle while Iris held the lantern pole steady. "You've saved my whole evening," Marla said, pressing a white blossom into Iris's hand. It was only a small delay, yet the market already sounded louder, busier, fuller. The clock tower chimed a quarter hour, and Iris felt a pinch of worry. Comet tapped her boot with his paw, reminding her to keep moving. The missing bridge light. To reach the band quickly, they needed to cross Ribbon Bridge, the narrow path over the canal. Halfway there, they found a crowd gathered at the entrance. The center lantern line had gone dark, and no one wanted to cross the dim planks with instruments and costumes. Iris peered up and spotted the problem. A knot of wet streamers had tangled around the wind crank that fed the lantern line. She climbed the side ladder while Comet steadied the base with a determined stance far too serious for his size. The metal crank groaned, then turned. One by one, the bridge lights blinked awake like fireflies remembering their names. The crowd cheered, and a violinist bowed in thanks. Iris smiled but kept moving. The bells would not wait simply because she had done two good deeds already. A sudden rain. Beyond the bridge, silver rain began to fall in a fine mist that blurred the lantern glow. Vendors rushed to pull canvas over their stalls, and children squealed as droplets pattered like quick drumbeats on tin roofs. Iris tucked the songbook inside her coat, but a gust slipped a page corner free. Comet sprang, caught the fluttering sheet between his teeth, and landed in a puddle with a triumphant splash. Under an awning, an old umbrella maker beckoned them over and handed Iris a compact oilskin wrap. "For precious paper," he said. She thanked him and wrapped the songbook tight, then offered to help tie down his awning ropes before she left. The rain eased as quickly as it had come, leaving the stones bright as polished glass. Their reflections looked like another market beneath their feet, upside down and sparkling. The clockmaker's puzzle. Near the clock tower lane, a boy sat on a crate holding a tiny brass gear and trying not to cry. His sister's parade automaton had stopped walking, and she was meant to lead the children's dance. Iris crouched to inspect the little machine, a painted swan with jointed wings and clockwork feet. One gear tooth was bent, and the pin was loose. Comet nosed open Iris's sewing tin from her satchel, where she kept odd bits and twine for emergencies. Using a hairpin, a ribbon thread, and patient fingers, Iris reset the gear and tightened the pin. The swan took two shaky steps, then glided forward with a soft click-click rhythm. The boy laughed so hard he hiccuped. "You're a miracle," he said. Iris shook her head. "No, just on a deadline," she replied, and hurried on. The wrong staircase. At last they reached the clock tower, only to find the front stairs blocked by drummers in full rehearsal. Iris tried the side door and ended up in a storage corridor stacked with festival banners and old props, giant papier-mâché fish, painted moons, and three cardboard castles. The hall twisted in impossible turns, and the bell mechanism thundered overhead, shaking dust from the rafters. For a moment, she felt properly lost. Comet paused, ears high, then trotted toward a narrow service stair where the draft smelled of brass polish and warm tea. At the top sat a caretaker mending gloves. He pointed them toward the rehearsal balcony and offered a shortcut through a tiny library of music scrolls. Iris thanked him, heart thumping faster now. Another bell struck. Not long left. The final climb. The shortcut ended at a spiral stair so steep it seemed to curl into the sky. Iris climbed two steps at a time, breath quick, one hand on the rail, the other on the wrapped songbook. Comet leapt lightly from step to step, turning every few turns to make sure she was still behind him. Through the stone arrow slits, she could see Moonlit Market far below, lantern rivers flowing between rooftops, banners fluttering, dancers forming circles in tiny jewel colors. On the final landing, she met the bandleader pacing in panic. "Please tell me you have it," he said. Iris held up the songbook with a grin so wide it hurt her cheeks. His relief looked like sunrise. Musicians gathered, opening to marked pages while Comet shook rain from his tail and sat proudly by the bass drum. Music over the square. When the ninth bell rang, the first notes floated out over the market, clear and bright. The parade began beneath the tower, drummers, dancers, children in paper crowns, bakers carrying lantern loaves, and the repaired clockwork swan stepping proudly at the front. Iris leaned on the balcony rail beside Comet and listened as melody folded into rhythm, then into cheering. People she had helped along the way looked up and waved, Marla with her flower cart, the umbrella maker, the violinist from Ribbon Bridge, the brother and sister with the swan. Each smile felt like a thread tying the whole evening together. Iris realized the songbook had been important, yes, but so had every pause on the road to deliver it. Parade of Paper Stars. As the first song rolled across the square, children carrying paper stars joined the dancers in careful circles. Their lantern sticks painted slow rings of light on the stones, and every turn seemed to stitch the crowd into one moving tapestry. Iris spotted the repaired swan gliding at the front, wings ticking in time with the drums. A baker passed trays of warm sugared knots, and even the stern watch captain softened enough to clap along. Comet trotted between boots and hems like a tiny marshal, making sure no one tripped over dropped ribbons. When a nervous boy forgot his steps, Iris leaned over the rail and mouthed the count with him until he found the rhythm again. By the final chorus, he was smiling so hard his cheeks shone. The market was no longer a thousand separate errands and worries, it was one bright moment shared by everyone under the same lantern sky. A quiet thank you. After the parade passed, the band took a break and shared warm tea and tin cups. The bandleader thanked Iris properly this time, with less panic and more kindness, and handed her a small enamel pin shaped like a lantern. "For service above and beyond," he said with a wink. Comet received a buttery biscuit from the percussion section, and accepted it with great dignity. Down below, the market slowed into a gentler hum. Stalls traded hurried sales for slower conversations, families gathered under awnings to watch the last dancers twirl. Iris sat on a step and felt the evening settle in her bones, not as tiredness exactly, but as the deep calm that comes after doing what mattered. Home through lantern light. When it was time to leave, Iris and Comet took the long way home. They crossed Ribbon Bridge again, now glowing steady and warm. They passed the florist's stall where white blossoms perfumed the air, and the umbrella maker waved from his doorway, lantern reflected in his silver spectacles. The rain had washed the world clean, and every color seemed softer and richer at once. Iris told Comet which moments she wanted to remember, the swan's first steps, the bridge lights returning, the sound of the crowd when the music began. Comet trotted close, occasionally brushing her hand with his tail as if to say he was filing those memories too. Tomorrow's song. At her door, Iris hung the enamel lantern pin beside her scarf and set a saucer of water for Comet near the hearth. Outside, Moonlit Market dimmed one lantern at a time until only the clock tower light remained, patient and bright. Iris opened her notebook and wrote a single line before bed, "The quickest path is not always the best one, the kind one becomes the true one." She smiled at the words, then closed the book and listened to the faint final echo of music drifting through the night. Tomorrow there would be new errands, new surprises, and surely new delays. But tonight had proven that courage could be calm, kindness could be practical, and a good story could be built from small choices made at the right moments. With that, Iris and Comet rested, ready for whatever song tomorrow asked them to carry.